give results back to the applicants. We tell those who got funded that they got funded and those who didn't that they didn't. We remain pretty optimistic. We've gotten strong support from certainly everyone involved along the Aleutian chain, including the Aleutians East Borough and the cities, governments, and businesses within the Aleutians East Borough. We've also gotten strong support from your state delegation, Bryce Edgman and Lyman Hoffman, and also from Senator Sullivan and Senator Murkowski. I should note that especially Senator Sullivan, he's been really quite heavily engaged in the process, as much as he can be, given the propriety he has to maintain between RUS and himself as a senator. Hopefully we'll get that funding soon, and if we do get that funding, as we have said before, we will proceed. We have full authorization from our parent, Liberty Media, to proceed with this project should we get this $25 million grant. That will mean there'll be a $35 million of GCI capital that we would spend on the project. So we still have a pretty large stake in this thing, making sure we get it right. But the business case looks great. As I said, we've gotten really strong support from all the business, from the business and government health and education communities throughout the Aleutians. So we're really quite optimistic with the business case, and hopefully we'll get this started. If we do get a little bit on schedule, if we do get the nod from Rural Utility Service, and let's say in the next month or so, which we expect we will, that would give us the ability to get this project started in early 2021, pardon me. So there would be it'll be a very heavy schedule, a lot of activity, but we'll start in early 2021, and we would expect to initiate service in the first two communities, Unalaska and Akutan, in the third quarter of 2022, King Cove, Sand Point coming next, Larson Bay, Chicknick Bay following that. So I'm going to stop there. I have a few other things to talk about, but I'm going to stop there and see if you all have any questions regarding what I've said so far and regarding this ReConnect grant application.
Okay. Thank you, Dan. Questions?
So what about Cole Bay? Okay. Nelson Lagoon. Hello?
Okay. Yeah, I got it. I'll answer that one now. Start with Nelson Lagoon. The route for this fiber starts in Kodiak and stays on the south side of the peninsula, crosses to the north side at right after Falls Pass, and goes into Akutan and then into Unalaska. We are not going on the north side of the peninsula, so Nelson Lagoon never has been part of the scope for this project. False Pass and Cole, the other communities that the fiber goes past, Chicknick Lake, Lagoon, Perryville, False Pass, and Cole Bay. False Pass, and the scope that we submitted to Rural Utility Service is Chicknick Bay, Larson Bay, Sandpoint, King Cove, Akutan, and Unalaska. I'm going to address False Pass and Cole Bay specifically now. False Pass would require a branching unit to be put in the water out in front of False Pass, which remains in scope. That branching unit will be part of the fiber we put underwater. The Cold Bay extension comes out of the King Cove facility, the King Cove onshore facility, so we can extend to Cold Bay anytime we want. I'm working now to get False Pass and King and Cold Bay put back in scope for this initial project. If, perchance, I fail and I'm not able to get it back in scope, it's always able to be added and would likely be added on as an additional phase after this initial phase is done. So I would ask, and I will ask, as I get going on making sure to see what we can do to get False Pass and Cold Bay added, I will probably ask for help from the Aleutians East Borough in form of support, business commitments, and that sort of thing. I'll stop there.
Okay, thank you, Dan. Other questions on this part of the conversation? Okay.
One of the other things, should I continue?
Yes, sir.
Okay, one of the other things in scope for those six towns I mentioned is fiber to the home and fiber to the business. So the local access network that we plan to build when we get to all those communities is fiber to every home and business in the community. Previously, I had said that we were going to do a fixed wireless network, but as we reviewed it further, we feel a lot more comfortable that the service we can give to homes and businesses and schools and healthcare and all that stuff will be much better served with the local fiber network. So it is our intention to build a local access network with fiber to every home and business, every facility in the community. As we do that, as you know, will take some permitting, take quite a bit of, each community will have to permit that activity. So we'll be coming to all the communities to get a permit. That'll happen pretty soon. It'll probably be initiated by a contractor called Williams Communications. So you should be hearing from them pretty soon. If you have any questions about that sort of stuff, make sure you track down Jen Nelson or myself, because we want to make sure that we get this right when we first get started. So any help we can get in the permitting process to make this go as smoothly as possible would be greatly appreciated. And I think you'll all be very happy with the performance you get when we do build this fiber to the, we call it fiber to the X, so fiber to the premise network when we do get that built. I'll stop there again for any more questions.
Questions for Dan? Dan, I think a lot of folks are waiting to hear about real-time today DCI issues also.
Okay. Okay. Probably about cell service.
I would say that would be a big issue.
So one of the things we've done, we've hung a pretty big hat on this whole idea of building a fiber out to your part of the world. And in that business case, and in that budget, in that $60 million that we want to spend out there, is upgrades and improvements to LTE, if not better, in all of the communities for our wireless network. So we haven't done anything with cellular or wireless networks out there yet. We're waiting on the results of this grant application to see if this scope and this bit of capital budgeting can pick up that issue. But as I said, every community that we go into with fiber will get cellular upgrade, whether that requires additional towers. We've got that budgeted in a few communities. We know that's required in Sandpoint. Additional towers where necessary, and then upgrade of all the equipment to the LTE speeds. We haven't. That's where we stopped. We have done 5G in Anchorage so far. It's the only place we've done 5G. If a year or a year and a half from now when we would get to it, it looks like 5G is a better thing for us to put in terms of future-proofing and pricing, then that's what we do. But I guess the main piece there is that within that whole AU-Evolution budget, it includes an upgrade to the way the service should have been right from the start. So it includes that upgrade in that whole project. I'll stop there.
Okay, Dan. So what if the fiber optic doesn't come, to a realization, then do you have a plan B for what you have out here currently?
If we don't get the grant and we have to go back to the drawing board on that grant, yes, we will revisit exactly what we need to do to make sure our service in those communities is upgraded and is what it ought to be. So, yeah, that's in our heads. We understand that we have to deal with that, but we've stuffed it into this whole idea of bringing fiber and doing this one big project that includes all of those elements. So if we somehow don't get this grant, we will go back and revisit what we need to do in each town to upgrade that cellular network.
Okay. Thank you. I'll be quiet and see if the assembly has any questions.
I got one here, Warren.
Go ahead, Warren.
When you hook up every home and business to the fiber optic line, are we going to be able to like have a new landline, and also get the TV, DCI TV service like through a local network through Anchorage type stuff?
So the new landline. We're not planning on doing local service at all. That's not in our scope. So we never have had the thought that a new landline would be part of this. Our scope has always been for your communities, cellular and internet. That's been the main thing. So it's an upgrade to cellular and then really strong internet service. With the change from fixed wireless to fiber to the home and fiber to the business, we're adding video. The plan now is to get video added into that scope. So that's a recent add. We didn't think we would do video over fixed wireless, but now with fiber to the premise, there's no reason for us not to do that. And certainly there's plenty of capacity to do that. And it would be just as we've said with the products and plans for cellular and internet, it'll be the same product, video product, as we offer in other fiber-fed communities like Kodiak or Sitka, which is really the exact same thing as we do in Anchorage. So at this point, we're just now initiating a service called IP Video, which will be the latest and greatest. Just now getting started here. By the time we get done in Sandpoint and King Cove and so on, that video's, you know, that is something that we would have turned up in other places and have gotten used to providing to customers. So that's the plan there. So it's internet, cellular, and video, no local service.
Okay, thank you. One more question. With the cable, it isn't going to run out beyond the trench out there. It's going to be more inland or more toward the shoreline or the bays where, you know, with these last earthquakes we had, you know, I'm sure there was a lot of slides and stuff like that. You guys got its bottom kind of mapped out where the cable is going to go?
We do. We've done the initial study about where the cable will go undersea. One of the next piece we have to do is a detailed undersea survey. But we are staying up on the shelf. We're not going out off the continental shelf. So we're staying up in relatively shallow water. I used to know the depths, but it's been a while since I've looked at all that, so I don't know exactly what those depths are. Can you hang on just a second? Sorry about that. So we're staying up on the shelf. And as we come in, we've identified where we want to come on shore in each community. And I think the guys who've done that have talked to people locally in each place. So we're staying up on the shelf.
Okay, thank you.
Other questions? Did you have something else, Dan?
No, I guess. Jen, do you have anything you want to offer?
No, thanks. I think you covered most of everything.
So poor Jen, she was supposed to give about half of this thing, but once I got going, I didn't shut up. So next time I won't hog the floor quite so much and give Jennifer her due.
Okay, if there's no other questions for GCI, sure appreciate you both of you coming in and talking with us. I think it's something the Assembly wanted, and as you know, we're on the radio too, so others will get to hear where things are today with part of the telecommunications. Anyway, so again, a big thank you to you, Dan, and Jennifer.
Hey, thanks for having us, and I can tell you that we're excited about the prospect of getting this done, and once we hear from RUS, we will certainly reach out to you and let you know the results. If they're positive, there'll be, like I said, a flurry of activity, so keep your fingers crossed.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay. Tell the last to Roger Meek.
Good afternoon, Mayor Osterbeck and Assembly members, and thank you so much for inviting me to share here. I think the last time that probably I saw or spoke with many of you was at Swansea in the first week of March, and my goodness, how our world has changed since then. But I've just got so much to share about what we've gotten accomplished in the Aleutians East Borough since March. It's really remarkable. Many of you might know that we took over the network for the Aleutians East Borough School District, and our engineering teams, our construction teams got to work shortly after I last spoke with you all. And even with the pandemic, even with the travel challenges and the quarantine rules that we had to meet, with backlogs in our supply chain, with just a number of obstacles, I don't know how many times I was told that we couldn't do this, but we did it. And we erected earth stations in Accutan and Falls Pass. We got them up and deployed and working in time for school. And this was such a phenomenal effort. I'm just super proud of the work that Telalaska is doing in Aleutians East Borough. But with this school deployment, we also were able to work with the school district to help them with some of their internal network needs. We were able to help them with a local Wi-Fi network that they're building for local only access so they can cut back on homework assignments being assigned to students in person and being able to deploy more virtual learning on a local basis. And we're excited to be able to help. The school district has just been a phenomenal endeavor for us, and we're really proud of the work that we did there. We made it all by our deadline. I think that for the most part we were up and running about a week early. But by July 1, we had all services up and green lights, and just really a spectacular effort. It should greatly improve the experience, the online experience for the students and the staff and the administration of the Aleutians East Borough School District. And we're just excited to be a partner in that endeavor. Another thing that we're doing that, in fact, is happening right now and today is that we've got a technician in Accutan right now. We got him over there today to do a little bit of maintenance and to check on the earth station installation. But we're also providing some support to the KSDP, the Sandpoint Radio Station, and their efforts to get their signal out to Accutan and to Falls Pass and seeing what we can do. We're doing a site survey on behalf of the Sandpoint Station today in Accutan to try to see where best we can build some infrastructure so that the folks in Accutan can pick up that radio signal, and we're excited to partner with them to do that. We continue to look at opportunities with not only the school district, but also, of course, several of the cities represented, the municipalities represented in the borough. We continue to look for ways to support and provide affordable broadband. We all know as folks who currently or have formerly lived in the Aleutians, we all know the expense of broadband served by satellite. And we are literally doing everything we can to drive those prices down. Right now we're looking at business cases that that rearrange much of our network that will result in the benefit of either more inexpensive prices on current packages or equal prices to greater packages. And all that's in the works. We will, in the next couple of months, we will move our residential and our business, but we'll move our internet packages to greater than a meg across the board. And so right now where we're offering 256 and 512, we will move our customers onto one meg service, and it will not be reflected as an increase on their bill. This is something we've been working hard on. We've been trying to make this business case work out, and we're close to rolling it out. I'm excited to share that with you. So there will either be at no cost an improvement. Well, across the board, all of the services will be improved at no cost. The profiles will be bigger, and then our services going forward will be higher caps, higher speeds, and lower monthly recurring rates. And I'm just excited to share that with you. I think that's phenomenal news, and it's what we can do today to help in the situation that we're in and to help bring more high-quality internet to the users in the Aleutians East Borough. And I'm just excited about that. Anything about any questions about what I've said so far? I'll talk all day about these topics.
Okay. So this all sounds really great. So Assembly, so far, any comments for Roger?
All right.
Here, Alvin. Sorry it took so long. Hey, Warren Wilson here out of King Cove. Say, I really like what you're saying there, and man, with those new speeds and getting up to one meg like you're talking about, that's really going to help us out here. I'm, me myself personally, I'm just happy to have internet. I don't really worry too much about the speed. You know, you're going to finally get it once in a while. You just gonna have patience half of the time. So anyway, thank you.
Yes, sir.
Other question? We have one in the office here. It's like even with the existing caps, or when you increase the speed and the caps go up, is there any way you, how do you get notified when you've reached your cap?
That's Mayor Osterbeck, thank you. That's a great question. At the current time, we provide the ability for you to go in and check your usage during the billing cycle. And I understand that that's a bit clunkier than receiving, say, a text or an email, an update. We did roll out an inexpensive platform for our metered usage, and it requires the effort of the user to log in and check that. While it's not perfect, it was the affordable solution that obviously the savings went on to the consumer. And so right now you can check your billing cycle usage, but we do not have an auto notify on that, unfortunately, Mayor.
Okay, thank you for that.
Yes, sir.
Other questions?
This is Denise. Can I speak?
Go ahead, Denise.
I was just wondering, with the school getting the business, is that going to affect any of the residential services? I just noticed our speeds are very, very slow. I was just wondering, with the school district getting that, if it's going to affect anything.
Yes, Mayor Osterbeck and Assembly members, yes, that's a great question. I will tell you that when you enter into an endeavor like we did with the school, they get a dedicated, isolated service. So us bringing them online, generally speaking, would not have an effect on the local network. Now, that being said, if you're experiencing poor services at any time, the best way for us to help is for you to let us know. And I visit our exchanges as much as possible. I visit our towns. I wish that I could visit more, but because of COVID, as we all know, it's a tough deal. But by and large, when I hear these, and sometimes it seems cyclical, sometimes things are fine, and sometimes things seem to slow down. But by and large, whenever I ask customers to provide the feedback, hey, have you called in and let us know? A lot of times the answer is no, and the call is free and the information's free. It just takes your time. That helps us to, obviously, we can do some remote checking and see whether or not your connection specifically has got any errors on it, or there's something that we can do to upgrade that or to improve your experience at your current level. The answer may be you're actually getting the service that is required. Here's what we see and use patterns and things of that nature, and we may be able to help you. Some of our customers were able to help with the times of day that they use the internet and things of that nature on the business side. But for the most part, if you're having problems, I strongly encourage you to give us a call so we can look at your individual service and at least rule that out. If it's a community-wide problem, you at any time can call TelAlaska and ask for Roger. I'm the only Roger that I know that works with the company, that works for this company. And you can ask me by name and share your concern with me. I guarantee you I'll address it. I guess that's what I'll say about that. If you've called in and not gotten a resolution to any issues, I'd absolutely love to know about that. I don't think that'll occur, but please let me know.
Okay, thank you. Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Roger,
Alvin, Chris here, I got a question.
Hang on just a minute. Roger, I think people stumbled into TikTok and they're streaming it, and that slowed everybody down, I think.
Anyway. It very well be, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Who's the other question, please?
Chris.
Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, Roger, I met you at Swampsea earlier this year. I guess the question I have is with calling in, GCI has said the same thing, and you call in, and they say they want to walk you through everything with your modem, and you're trying to explain to them, no, it's not just me, it's everybody in town, and it's the same with GCI, and I don't know if they're still on here, but the same thing, you call the support, they want to walk you, they don't understand that it's a citywide problem, and I know GCI was having some real issues here, and I know they updated their satellite yesterday for this area, and it's kind of gotten better, but I don't know, it's just trying to educate customer service that it's not just a problem with what I'm working on, it's a citywide problem. And the other question I have is are these services that TelAlaska is providing, the internet, is it the more people are on that internet, the slower it is? Because I know that there are times where the speeds are a little bit faster, and of course it seems like around dinner time and then in the early evenings the speed really slows down. So are those going to be addressed in this expansion that you're talking about?
Absolutely. We will be expanding our backhaul to these locations. I will say that at peak hours, that the internet on best effort services certainly does experience congestion at times. We monitor that literally on a day-by-day basis. If we see that congestion is deteriorating the end-user experience at a threshold that's unacceptable, we absolutely make adjustments to the network and increase our backhaul to the location. Now, you bring up excellent points, and thank you for that question. It's a very tough and fine line to draw on buying that backhaul and providing a business case that works and a customer experience that's satisfactory. And what we literally balance that every day. And frankly, I believe we do and have done for the last 20 years just as good a job as we can. facing the economic challenges of providing broadband via satellite. But the shorter answer to your question is, yes, we will always be looking to upgrade our network and increase our backhaul. And yes, when we roll out these new packages, we will roll out. We will also supplement our broadband capacity to adjust for them.
Okay. Any other questions for Roger?
Calvin, I've got a question in cell service. I don't know if he was going to keep going or I can get right to the question if he'd like.
Go ahead.
Hey, Roger, the cell phone service, I don't know, and actually I don't know if there's a difference between when you have another account, say, with Tel Alaska or use AT&T. However, the cell phone equipment in Sandpoint, where I'm calling from, seems to be kind of less than stellar, the service sometimes. It won't ring, or if it does ring, they don't hear it ring, and they never get the call. Or if they call you, you just see a message that you missed the call, and it never rang. But there seem to be some equipment issues over the years, and everybody kind of learned to live with it. And then some days it doesn't work at all. A couple of weeks ago, there were three days in the week where I had no cell service. So can you tell me anything about equipment on the cell phone network?
Absolutely, absolutely. Mayor Osterbeck and Assembly members, the cellular network that Tel Alaska deployed over the last several years is basically a 2G and 3G network, and the simple answer is I do not foresee a great investment in building that network up to a 5G or LTE platform. I don't expect to see that. It's cost prohibitive with our customer base. The backhaul on the data drives the data plans into an area that makes it unaffordable for the end user. We recognized that several years ago. And so in our response to that is we have an unlimited data plan for $5 a month for any of our cellular users. I don't know of any other unlimited plans on satellite-fed networks around the state. They're not very common, but that was our response, was that our data plans would be unlimited. You wouldn't be metered, and so it wouldn't be an effort to increase your bill. The cellular business is again, another tough one. For such a small operator as us, we don't have the resources as the national carriers and the larger players in the statewide game that we could constantly be pouring money into our cellular network. And that being said, I don't think that we misrepresent that at the point of purchase. I think that our reps are forthcoming with the service as it is, and that we want you to know. So that the expectations are set that this is a 2G and 3G service, that the data is unlimited, and there will likely not be a 5G or LTE upgrade coming soon. As far as call functionality, and I believe I saw an outage report. I think we did have an outage in your area here recently. I'd have to look back through emails. But as far as if you don't have cell service in a place that you typically always have cell service in that, please take the moment and make the effort to call us and let us know. That is feedback that we need to serve you better. Hopefully that addresses your question, Paul. And thank you for asking the question, sir.
Yeah, it's difficult, I guess. Light way of saying it sometimes. And I know, for instance, I bought a Zoleo receiver through Iridium satellite network as a backup for emails, and other people have too, just because they really need the service. So I wish the network, not necessarily for the internet portion of the network, but for just basic phone calls, be able to call them and talk to somebody. So thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Okay.
Hello, Josie from Appleton.
Oh, go ahead, Josie.
Hi. My call was spotty there for a minute. I wasn't sure if you'd mentioned if you are offering any service in Acton besides the school.
Mr. Mayor and Assembly members, that was that question, whether or not we will provide service in Acton other than the school. Is that correct? Was that the question?
Yes.
Okay.
That's the question.
Yeah. Absolutely. That's on our mind. We do intend to provide some type of internet access there in the near future. We're not the incumbent local exchange carrier, and so we don't have infrastructure to every home the way that we do, say, in Sandpoint or King Cove and Cold Bay. But we are absolutely looking at that. We would like to offer the residents of Accutan something that's affordable and reliable, and that's very important to us, and we're looking very closely at that. I would expect something, news of something like that to come this year, if not early next year.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, we have a provider here. You know, they're great. But we used to have GCI, and they just kind of like cut us off. We've got the upgrade, so nobody's got internet anymore with them. So thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Thank you for the question.
Okay. Roger, did you have more on your plate there that you wanted to share?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. No, that was it. Now, I can share all day about the details of those operations because I'm proud of the work we did, but no, sir, that was it for me.
Okay, good. So one last go around, I guess. Any other comments from any of the assembly? Okay. Good information. Really appreciate it. I know the school district appreciates all the work that you've put in, and I'm glad to hear you're working with KSDP to possibly get the radio station up and running out there.
Yes, sir.
So nobody has any other questions. I really appreciate you coming in. Assembly wanted an update on what was happening, and I'm sure the folks online would be gave them some good information also. So I guess the main thing to take away is, right, when you have problems, call it in. So we'll do that.
Thank you, Your Honor, and thank you to the Assembly for your time today. I appreciate it. And, again, you can call Telask and ask for Roger. I'm happy to answer any questions you have. Thank you.
Okay. Okay, with that, we're down to minutes from August 13th, 2020 meeting. We need a motion.
Motion, Warren.
Thank you, Warren.
Second, this is Josie.
Thank you, Josie. Does anybody have any corrections or additions to the minute? I think during the workshop there was a word missing out of one section. Oh, that was in the resolution. Okay, sorry. Okay, hearing none, if nobody has any objections, the minutes will stand as written. Financial report, as we already talked about in the workshop, we don't have the July financials at this time, but Penny, you want to go ahead?
Yeah, Mayor Ostrak and Assembly, that is correct. At this time, we do not have the July financials in the packet for this month, but we will have July and August in the October meeting. Thank you.
Okay. And you have, go ahead. Oh. Okay, and In your packet, you have the July investment report for you to go over. And unless there's questions on it, we're going to move on to the consent agenda.
Mr. Mayor. I think a week or two ago, Annie sent some information about balances of the our investment fund, and so about 10 seconds, I'll just share with you what I look back to 2016, and for 5 years, it was $40 million, $44 million, $44, 349,000, $45 million last year, and Annie just mentioned today it's 41, so just some additional info. It took me a little while to search online, but just I would like to keep in perspective how we're doing in the long run. Thank you.
Thank you, Paul. Okay, so we're down to the consent agenda. So we need a motion and a second to approve the consent agenda.
Hello?
This is Carol.
Thank you, Carol. Get a second?
Second, this is Denise.
Thank you, Denise. Annie, you want to go through them, please?
Yes, Mayor, back in assembly, I'll just read off the titles and then I'll have Tina explain it. But Resolution 2114 is for appointing election judges for the October 6, 2020 regular election. And Resolution 21-15 is for appointing a canvas committee for the October 6, 2020 regular election. Tina, would you like to explain any further?
And so, yeah, so these are the routine election resolutions that we do every year, appointing election judges and the canvas committee for the election. The resolutions also allow me if an election worker isn't able to work, I'm able to appoint someone to fill in their place. Any questions?
Hearing none, call a question on a motion.
Brenda?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Josie?
Yes.
Denise?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Carol?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Daly?
Yes.
Thank you. Motion carries.
Okay, thank you. Next item is a public hearing. So we need a motion and a second to bring Ordinance 2103 on the floor for a public hearing.
Hi, this is Chris. I make a motion that we bring the following ordinance on the floor.
Thanks,
Brenda, I'll second.
Thank you, Brenda. This, again, would be Tina.
Okay. So public hearing ordinance 2103 will the amendment is to allow early voting 15 days prior to the election to increase voter accessibility prior to election day. And we already do absentee voting. However, you have to fill out a form, and early voting will make it a little bit easier. We'll have early voting locations in three large communities that have polling places. And they would sign an early voting register instead of filling out the form and the identification envelope that requires a notary. So it'll be a little bit different, a little bit easier. And the purpose of it is to provide better social distancing and protect the public health during this pandemic by allowing people to vote 15 days prior to the election to spread out the voters up through 15 days. that makes sense. This ordinance will also allow the clerk to appoint a high school student in good standing in a public, private, or qualified homeschool program, 16 years or older, and is also a U.S. citizen. I hope that makes sense. Does anybody have any questions?
Oh, Mr. Mayor, Tina, during the workshop, you mentioned some of the locations that you're going to put in your posting where the voting will occur, maybe with the public and the radio.
Yeah,
you could mention those.
Exactly. So the notice of election is required to be posted on the 16th, and on that notice of election, we always have the polling locations for election day. On the notice now, if this is approved, we'll have the early voting locations, and like for Sandpoint, I'm going to use the city chambers. For the city of King Cove, it'll be the city gym and city of Accutan in the municipal building. And the other three small towns, Cold Bay, Falls Pass, and Nelson Lagoon, as always, will be by mail only. Does that explain it? Any other questions?
Okay. There's no other questions from the assembly. I'm going to go ahead and open the public hearing on ordinance 2103. Laura, do you have any written comments from the public on this?
Sorry, I was muted. No, Mayor Osterbach, none have come in. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. And as the public knows, that's how we deal with public comments now is through Laura through email. So since there aren't any, I'll close the public hearing and let's bring the motion to the table. Tina?
Warren?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Denise?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Carol?
Yes.
Yes. Oh, sorry.
Paul?
Yes.
Josie?
Yes.
Haley?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Thank you. Motion carries.
Okay. Thank you for that. Before us, we have three resolutions. The first resolution is 21-12, authorizing the mayor to negotiate and execute amendment number 4 of the co-sponsorship agreement with DocPuff and the city of Accutan. I need a motion and a second.
Motion, Warren.
Thank you, Warren.
Second.
Second.
Thank you, Chris.
Denise? Okay. Annie?
Yes, Mayor Osterbach and Assembly, before you is Resolution 20-12. As Mayor Osterbach mentioned, this is to authorize the mayor to negotiate and execute Amendment Number 4 of the co-sponsorship agreement with the Alaska Department of Transportation and Public Facilities and the City of Accutan. The borough entered into a co-sponsorship agreement with the state and the city for construction and operation of the Accutan Airport located on Accoon Island. This was approved in January 2010. Per this agreement, the borough has agreed to provide the link between the airport and the community for 20 years. Since that time, the CSA, the co-sponsorship agreement, has been amended numerous times, and those are outlined in the packet on what for. But now the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers has recently authorized the Accutan Traditional Council, as well as the borough as co-sponsor, to participate in the Accutan Navigational Project. Per the proposed CSA amendment, the tribe and the borough will act as co-sponsors, and the two things that will be approved per this amendment is, one, the approval of using $1,016,000 to investigate airport access alternatives, and also an additional $200,000 for any additional matcher related costs to support this effort. And two, it will extend the deadline, which did expire in 2019. It will extend this to 2022. And then the funding sources that are available, currently the borough has about $4.38 million in non-federal matching funds, which are available for the local match. And per the CSA, all three parties would agree that those funds can be used. With that, are there any questions?
Okay. Thank you for that, Annie. I'm going to go ahead and call a question on the main motion.
Josie? Josie?
Annie, are you still on?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay.
Maybe. Yeah, lost her. Warren?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Yes.
Carol?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Josie? Can I get you back?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. And Samantha?
Yes.
Daly?
Yes.
Thank you. Motion carries.
Okay. Thank you, everyone. So our second resolution is 21-13, authorizing the mayor to negotiate and execute a tribal partnership program cost share agreement between the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, Akutan Tribal Council, and the Aleutians East Borough for the Akun Island Navigational Improvement Tribal Partnership Feasibility Study. I need a motion and a second to bring it on the floor.
This is Brenda. I move to approve.
Thanks, Brenda.
Second, Warren.
Thanks, Warren. Annie, you want to take this one?
Yes, Mayor Osterbeck and Assembly. As Mayor Osterbeck said, Resolution 2113 is before you. This is to allow or authorize the mayor to negotiate and execute a tribal partnership program agreement between the Army Corps of Engineers, the Akutan Tribal Council, and the borough for the Akun Island Navigational Improvements Tribal Partnership Feasibility Study. In order for this project to proceed, the borough needs to enter into this cost-sharing agreement with those entities I just described. And the main areas to highlight in this agreement is the Army Corps shall conduct the study using funds appropriated by Congress and funds provided by the non-federal sponsors, and the borough and tribe shall perform or provide any in-kind contributions in accordance with applicable federal laws, regulations, and policies. The borough shall contribute 50% of the shared study cost, which is projected to be $1,016,000. If approved, administration will provide a letter to the Army Corps approving the agreement and expressing the borough's interest in moving forward with the study, and then the borough will be able to negotiate with the Corps and tribe and execute the agreement and all necessary documentation. During the break between the work session and the meeting, I was informed by Tribal President Bereskin that they will be working on these documents as well. So our goal will be get these documents to the Corps tomorrow. Any questions?
Yes.
Paul.
Yes.
Yes.
Brenda.
Yes.
Carol.
Yes.
Dulcie.
Yes.
Samantha.
Yes.
Kaylee.
Yes.
Thank you. Motion carries.
Thank you, everyone. Our last resolution is 21-16, authorizing the mayor to negotiate and execute an agreement with Robertson, Montague, and Eastott to provide legal representation in the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals to appeal the June 1st, 2020 Alaska Federal District Court decision by Judge Sedgwick in Friends of Alaska National Wildlife Refuge versus King Cove Corporation, others, in amount not to exceed $107,750. We need a motion and a second.
This is Brenda. I make that motion.
Thank you, Brenda.
This is Carol. I'll second it.
Thank you, Carol. Annie?
Yes, Mayor Osterbach and Assembly. As Mayor Osterbach mentioned, Resolution 2116 is before you. Robertson, Montague, and Eastout is requesting authority and funding to provide legal representation in the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals to appeal the June 1, 2020 decision by Judge Sedgwick. The contractual compliance and funding relationship for this work will be between the borough and Robertson, Montague, and ESO, and the legal and technical tasks conducted will represent the King Cove Coal Bay Group, which consists of the Aleutians East Borough, the King Cove Corporation, the Egdow Tribe, Native Village of Belkovsky, the City of King Cove, and City of Coal Bay. Just to give a brief summary of the current litigation status, on June 1, 2020, the Alaska Federal District Court Judge Sedgwick invalidated the land exchange agreement that had been executed between the King Cove Corporation on June 28, 2019. Between August 14 and 17, each of the three parties that supported land exchange filed a timely notice of appeal, and these parties are the King Cove Corporation, Egdow Tribe, and Native Village of Belkovsky, and our group, the State of Alaska, and the Secretary of Interior, David Bernhardt, the Department of Interior, and U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. On the 18th, the Ninth Circuit Clerk acknowledged the timely filing of the Notice of Appeals and set up a preliminary schedule. The schedule is hard to predict, and it may change between now and October, but the schedule here is in the packet, with October 25th being the date that everyone must file its opening brief and excerpts of record. The scope of work includes contacting the Department of Interior and the Department of Justice, drafting the opening brief and legal research to defend the legality of the land exchange agreement, coordinating with the State of Alaska Department of Law attorneys, drafting reply brief to appellee's answering brief, and then there's contingency for unanticipated work, as well as travel expenses for oral argument or other travel if necessary. The cost for these services is $107,750, and the borough would enter into a not-to-exceed agreement. Therefore, the borough will not pay for services that are not rendered by Robertson, Montague, and Eastow. The funding for this would come out of the King Cove Access Project designated legislative grant that we have with the State of Alaska. With that, if there's any questions.
Okay. Question for Annie?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Annie, if, well, I thought we should have had an executive session, but I won't dwell on that at all. But if we have a change of administration, this is a question for the attorney, and I don't even want an answer. I don't think an answer is appropriate from us because we need it from our attorney, probably. But if there's a change of administration and the pick the odds that you'd like, how does that change our strategy? That's the question I would have liked to add. So I have to ask, and so I have to ask it in public, I guess. But, anyway, that's one question that I assume there could be changes, but I guess it's an unanswerable question, but thank you.
Annie?
Yes, Mayor Osterbeck and somebody. That is a good question, and I believe there's been discussions on that, but obviously there's a lot of unknowns on what's going to happen in November with the presidential election. There have been discussions, but not at any great length at this point. I will bring this up with the attorneys, and hopefully I can get an answer for you.
Thank you.
Okay. Other questions? Hearing none. Motion on the resolution.
Chris?
Yes.
Carol?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Dilsey?
Yes.
Denise?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Bailey? Thank you. Motion carries.
Okay, thank you for that. We're down to old business. Ernie, do you have a little cod fishery update, maybe?
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This agenda item has been on the last few assembly meetings. This time, we're right in the middle of the groundfish plan team meetings, and during the break, we were able to listen to Steve Barbeau. I'm going to turn it over to the Natural Resources Assistant Director, Charlotte Levy, to give her expert opinion on all that. Charlotte.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Mayor and Assembly. I don't know that my opinion is expert, but I will sort of give a brief update. And I'm just going to go into what's going on now and what Steve went over in his presentation. So some new information. We have had three new marine heat waves since 2020. Those are similar to what we experienced with the blob from 2014 to 2016. The beach surveys that they do for abundance in age zero cod had increased in 2020, had some of the highest densities, which is sort of good news. The AFSC long line surveys showed us that 2020 raw catch numbers were higher in 2019, but still lower than, higher than 2019, excuse me, but still lower than 2018. The Fish and Game Survey data came back. The 2020 cod CPUE and abundance are still very low, but they are higher than 2019. So we're seeing kind of some of those increases this year. And length was similar across all areas, and they saw very few small fish lower than 40 centimeters. So state catch for directed cod and then all of the fisheries catch was much lower in 2020 than 2019-2018. And the bycatch rates that they use to assess the stock is a little bit mixed this year, so I don't think they're really giving a lot of weight to the bycatch rates. I don't want to speak too far into the future, but they did produce some of the preliminary groundfish specs. Steve did mention that he is not using a new model this year because the IPHC survey did not go forward. And so most of the data has been rolled over to 2021. So the TAC is basically the same. I think that would basically close the federal fishery like it did this year, but may allow for a small state fishery and bycatch. But that is yet to be determined, and, of course, that'll come up again at the November plan team and then at the council. And that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you, Charlotte. Ernie?
Yeah, I kind of think the default position for the plan team is to roll over the last year's specs, and then as they get into November, December, they will really start digging into it. But so on the council's agenda for October, they'll be talking preliminarily about specs and also about surveys, and we're hoping that they're able to cover all our areas on this 2021 surveys because they missed everything on 2020. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Questions for Charlotte or Ernie?
Mr. Mayor, question for Charlotte, I guess. Charlotte, Oscar Dyson was here last week, but I don't know what they were doing. But the state survey you're referring to, was that August of this year survey, a couple months ago, for groundfish and crab? And if it was, if there's any information at all available, I know people are interested in the possibility of a crab season, too, but hard to believe that the cod fishery was down in their survey. But that was this year on the resolution?
Yes. Thank you, Bald. I believe that was this year, and I don't have any of the information readily available on crab, although I'm sure I can look into that. And I don't know if Ernie maybe has more information on crab.
I do not. It takes them a while to assimilate that, put that information together.
Other questions? Okay. Thank both of you for your reports. Under new business, we have three items. And the first one, Annie, the Aleutians Eastboro Strategic Plan, Order 2 update.
Yes, Mayor Osterbeck and Assembly, in the packet, although it was a little late, there is a strategic plan update for Quarter 2, as well as the updated vision navigation chart. Even with COVID, I'm very proud of what everyone was able to accomplish, especially in regards to fisheries advocacy. A lot of tasks have been completed over the last two quarters, and that's a large part due to the Natural Resources Department. So thank you for that. I'm not going to go through everything in great detail. Some of these items have been moved over to the next planning cycle to be revisited simply because some of the COVID items and other priorities have occurred since March that we did not anticipate going into this plan. So we'll revisit that in the next cycle. Some two items that have been completed in their entirety, which I would like to thank everyone for their hard work on that, is the Sandpoint School. The application was completed. Mary and Emil worked on that tirelessly, and it has been completed, which is a great accomplishment. So that was completed in time by quarter two. So thank you for that. Also, the Harbor Float System, Sandpoint, and Actan grants were also submitted to the state and federal level, and so that entire track has been completed for the entire year as well. With that, if there's any questions, please let me know. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions? Okay. Next item is a discussion item on salmon disaster declaration. This is something that I asked to be put on the agenda. Ernie and Charlotte worked on a draft resolution for the assembly to look at, and it got emailed to everyone this morning. From the time it got emailed till now, there is percentages to be put in the open spots there that need them. I'd like to have a discussion with the assembly, and maybe Ernie, if you want to start to kind of lay out how you got to where you are with the resolution, and then we can.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So at the beginning of the month, you asked for a memo to try to get an idea where we're at, because you've been having discussions with people and everybody's concerned with the community's economic downturns. And so that memo is in the packet, and it shows, for example, South Penn this year compared to previous years, all species, sockeye, same thing for North Penn. We emailed out a draft resolution, and that draft resolution has some assumptions. One of them is that it would be a South Penn only disaster declaration request. Some of the numbers that I came up with, I want to go back over. I want Charlotte to recheck them. I haven't shared the data that I have with her yet, but they're not as high as we'd want them to be. But I think compounding issues, I mean, we always look at the number of salmon, but then we have to also look at the lower weight and size of the salmon, and then the price. So put all those things together, it's been kind of devastating. We put this together looking at getting direction from the assembly and maybe come back to it in October, because there is no deadline for requesting a disaster declaration. On the side, this assembly put in a request for the cod season, and we did not get a response from the state on that. So certainly available for questions.
Okay. Thank you, Ernie. Assembly, have you had a chance to review this? Do you have any questions or ideas you'd like to add to this resolution as we go forward working on it? How about the assembly? Do you feel like this is something we should be pursuing?
Well, Mr. Mayor, I kind of would expect it to be on the agenda next month for action. You know, season's over, so either we take action or not. I think some communities did it last month, so thank you.
All right. That's good. Mr.
Mayor, this is Carol.
Good, Carol.
I think we should pursue this. I think once everybody kind of looks at their settlement and crew members start looking, they'll start understanding what a glitch everybody's in here. So I think we should pursue it and then talk to the fishermen, too, and see how they feel or see what they think we should do. So I think we'll see it on next month's agenda, I hope.
Okay. Okay, so if Assembly, you know, wants to look at it and think about it some, you know, you can contact, if you want to do it by email, you could contact Ernie or Charlotte. You can talk to me or, you know, whoever, if you have different ideas or things that you think should be in there. And then we'll just go forward and keep working on it and bring it back in October. Everybody okay with that? Okay. And then Paul.
This is Brenda. I think that sounds acceptable.
Pardon? I didn't catch that. Assemblymember Grenell, video conference and increased public participation.
Yeah, I don't know how to get increased public participation. There might be some options because we're getting none, zero. However, video teleconferencing, we should just give it a try next month. It doesn't cost anything hardly, and if it doesn't work so great, we'll know. But until we try it, and I think it'll add to our meeting experience for the assembly and the staff. Thank you.
Okay. That's we can do that, huh? Sounds pretty good.
Mr. Mayor, is it Carol?
I
do have a question. When you video conference, it goes through the internet, right?
Right.
Okay, there's my answer. Okay, thank you.
Carol, I was going to bring up the same thing. Yeah, the internet's not going to allow that to happen. The only way that we could really do it is if we utilize what the school has. But when I brought this up, when we had a mayor back a ways, he said we couldn't utilize that because the school gets money from the government for their video conferencing. And so, but with the way the internet is, I don't see it working.
Okay, thank you, Chris. Yeah, and I believe the program that the school system is under for what they're doing with the internet, you're not allowed to, because I've even tried, like, why can't we have some video conferencing in here and use, because we got this big screen that belongs to the school district in our office, but I found out that that's not, you'd be breaking the rules of their engagement with whoever they work with, who apparently is inferior now. So, yeah, that's not possible. Now, we have had, you know, during this COVID-19, from the office here,
of course, ours up here might be a little bit faster. So we've had WebEx and different things we've been using. And there's two ways on some of those, Cisco and them, you can go on. You can either go on video conference, and some people just join by phone. We could look into some of that. But, yeah, I think most of it, most communities probably won't be fast enough to. You'll have such a time lag. What you're, it'd be like watching one of those old spaghetti westerns that the voices didn't match up with what you see on the screen when the speeds are different. So, yeah, we could look into it and see.
Yeah, that's right.
Hey, Alvin, Chris here again.
Hey, Chris.
Why are we not letting the public have access to this number right now and code? Why are we not doing that right now?
Good question. One thing probably would be the cost of doing that would get pretty expensive. I guess a guy could look in. I don't know how you would. Yeah, how many lines were even allowed in? I don't know. Annie, have you ever looked into it?
Mayor Ostrack and Assembly, no, I have not. But that is a question of capacity, of course, cost, and also knowing who's on the line is difficult as well. So it's not a bad idea. We can definitely look into that. We are having discussions on ways that we can include the public in a more in a better fashion. So we've started those talks internally, and don't have a great solution as of yet, but we will continue to look into those options.
Okay. Go ahead.
Oh, hi. I believe with GCI Teleconference Center, it's up to 50 lines. I'm unsure of the cost, though. But I wanted to go back to the video conferencing. I've gone to or attended some via telephony while others were on who were able to video conference. But especially down here with how spotty the internet is, and it's $25 a gig. So usually we always end up just calling in. So.
That's good, though. And Paul,
thank you. Go ahead. Yes. So last month I was on a video teleconference. I think I mentioned last meeting, but we had a training session which didn't take any effort at all. It was pretty easy for everybody. So that lasted 5 minutes. But downloading did take a little bit to download the software. But the meeting itself was 40-some people, and I was able to look at all of them at nine at a time on screen, online, and it worked pretty good with my local internet, and which I've got an upgraded package, but it does work at home here. And then one of our providers is going to increase the internet. They said during their hearing earlier, our presentation, it just may work better. So I don't see any harm in trying it. And if it's a complete dismal failure, well, that's a lesson to be learned also. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. So, Annie, does staff have enough information kind of to peel this one back and take a look and see what we could bring back to the assembly at the October meeting maybe?
Yes. Thank you.
I think probably just a couple of phone calls to the different carriers out here to find out how they feel about, you know, how much usage we'd have and bandwidth, speed, whatever it is that they do. But I know at my house, I don't have the higher package, speed, or whatever, so I don't think I would get it. You know, of course, I'm going to be up here. I wouldn't be there, but just saying mine wouldn't work, I don't think, at home. Okay. Any other comments on this subject?
This is Brenda. I use video conferencing
Brenda.
Almost every day on my telephone and at work, so it works really well for me. You just have to download Zoom or download the app that you're going to use, and some people might need a little assistance with that is all. But I've been able to use mine almost every day and every evening for a lot of the classes and trainings I've been doing.
Okay,
Brenda, well,
you know,
doesn't the clinic here has a GCI trunk line, so they get really high speed internet.
No,
I'm talking
personally, Chris, on my internet at my house on my telephone with my classes and my weekend on Zoom. There's Zoom and different apps that you can download on your phone that I use all the time for, and we just did a master's class, Zoom class, the other night, and it works great on my cell phone. If I get on a laptop, it messes up, so I've only been able to use my cell phone so far.
Okay, yeah, no, I just did a join me today where the guy shared his computer screen with me here at work, and we were going through some training, and it froze up. He couldn't even do the training, so, yeah. So I think it's just going to be hit or miss.
Okay. Well, we'll take a look into it and see. And you know, like I said, I've used it up here in the office at different conferences, state, federal, whatever, on this COVID-19. And in most cases, you know, here we have a little higher speed, so it's not understood. But I noticed in most cases now, everybody was on it with, you know, your face was there and everything, and as time went by, pretty soon all the video parts were canceled out. Basically, you're talking to your computer, but you don't see anything. So we'll take a look into it and bring it back. Okay? All right. So we are down to reports and updates. Annie?
Sorry, I need to unmute. Yes, so we've got the reports and updates. Online, it's just a brief COVID-19 update. On September 2nd, most of you were informed that there were 6 people tested positive for COVID-19. They were non-Alaska residents. But EAT does still confirms, you know, upon receiving the positive test results, they're immediately putting the patients in isolation away from others and working with the cities and public health officials on this to keep the public protected from the virus. So I do want to commend EAT for all their hard work during this. It's been tireless, and they've administered a ton of tests, and they are staying on top of it. So I'd like to say thank you to them. A brief update on the Emergency Assistance and Economic Stimulus Grant. This was released on September 1st, 2020, which was our date we were shooting for. We have received, as of yesterday, 49 applications. We have processed 18 of them and paid out to date $13,490 to residents that are in need due to COVID-19 impacts. So that's great, and we are continually going through applications as we receive them, and we'll pay those out probably once a week to the residents as we go through. So that's a fantastic program that's working. Working on the nonprofit and civic organization relief grant program, the assembly did appropriate $150,000 to this program. It's in draft form. I'm hoping to get this out on September 15th. And we are looking at awarding up to $10,000 or an equally prorated amount to all qualified applicants. So if there was 1 to 15 qualified applicants, each would receive $10,000, and if there were 50 qualified applicants, each group would get $3,000. So just to give an example of what we're looking at there. CARES Act funding, we have reported to the state per our grant agreement, and here I had the July numbers, but I just submitted the August report yesterday. So as of August, we have expended $153,416 on CARES Act expenditures that the Assembly approved.
last meeting. The face mask campaign is still ongoing. We would love photos and to get more involvement in this. If photos, if you have a photo of yourself in a face mask and a caption, please email it to Mary, and we'll get that up there and also include a quote about why you wear one. Other than that, everything's pretty much status quo. We're still attending meetings, posting things on Facebook, having meetings with the communities, leaders, and EATS, as well as the school district. Any questions on COVID-19 before I move on? Okay, the King Cove Road update, there was actually a better one that we did prior, so I'll skip that. Cold Bay Terminal, there is tons going on in that terminal as we speak. We're still working with TSA on a final design for their footprint so that they can have their scanning process go faster in the terminal, and we are still continuing to work with Raven Alaska on their plans for operating in the terminal. There are tons of other items we're working on there as well, too many to list. But there's continuous motion and things happening there. Bond refinancing, there is an update on this from what I submitted on the 3rd. On Tuesday of this week, we were informed that the Series 2 sale will be temporarily postponed due to the state Supreme Court's September 4th decision regarding the state's finance plan for payment of tax credits owed to oil and gas companies and its potential implications for the bond bank. So they have temporarily postponed that. I did talk to bond counsel, and they said that they are going to be researching this decision that's came out and make a decision whether to move forward or not. A Coon Boat Harbor study, you've been informed on that through the resolutions that were just passed today. But strategic planning, we have entered into our contract with PGS, and on September 8th, administration and staff members have met with PGS and started that process. So we will be setting up meetings over the next couple of months and get some information out to the assembly here soon on dates and times for meetings in regards to that. And finally, Accutan Essential Air Service update. On August 25th, the department, U.S. Department of Transportation did issue an order requesting proposals for air carriers interested in providing the EAS at Accutan, and the contract would begin January 1, 2021. Applications are due on the 21st, so in 11 days. And I have spoken to both Maritime and Grant Aviation, and they're both interested in continuing providing that service. So we'll see what happens there. Other than that, if there's any questions, I'd be happy to take them. Thank you.
Any questions?
Hearing none. Hi, Annie.
Mary? Oh, wait. Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Barely.
Oh,
Mayor Osterbeck, I think Josie had a question.
Yeah, I got a question. I was just wondering, thank you. Of the received applications for the CARES funding, are they broke up per community? Do you know how many or what percentage are from the communities in the region, or is it just the total number is what you're keeping?
We can actually break that out relatively easily, but I can tell you all the applications we have received are just from Sandpoint and King Cove. We've received nothing else from any other community. So the applications should be in the airports at all, or not airports, excuse me, in the post offices in all the communities. We highly encourage participation, but literally we've only received them from King Cove and Sandpoint to date.
Okay, thank you.
Other questions? Okay. Mary.
Okay, thanks, Mayor and Assembly. So really short report in your packet for me, but I just wanted to give a really brief update on the Sandpoint School Grant. Annie mentioned that we did submit the application by the due date on September 1st, which is great. As a reminder, the total funding request ended up being about $3.9 million, which was adjusted for inflation, which puts the borough's 35% match, I believe, at like 1.7, if my math is correct. So that's in anticipation of the project starting in 2022 or 23. So the next step would be to keep an eye out on the state's CIP project list, which is where this project would end up, which is typically submitted in December, which is when we'll see how our projects or how our application ranks. And then during this upcoming legislative cycle, the funding for the entire program will be appropriated, and then awards for, I believe it's the top five projects, are awarded that summer. So if our project is included in the top five, we'd receive funding as early as June of 2021. So we'll just keep an eye out on that. And then, of course, if we, you know, if we don't receive the funding, we'll just keep applying and hopefully get the funding soon. So with that, this project is complete on our strategic plan, which is really exciting. And I just want to give a shout out to Emil. He worked really hard on this with me. So thank you, Emil. Just a couple of other things. Annie mentioned the stimulus program has been put out to the public, which is awesome. We've received several applications. I'm the point of contact for this one. So if any assembly members or members of the public have any questions, feel free to give me a call or shoot me an email at the COVID-19 email address. I'm happy to walk people through the application. Again, Mask Up Aleutians East, we're still looking for photos and quotes from folks in the region. So if you would like to participate, let me know. Send me those photos and we can get them on Facebook. Yeah, other than that, just working on several of the projects that Annie has previously mentioned. So I will stop there and happy to answer questions. Thanks.
Thank you, Mary. Questions? Okay. Laura.
Thank you, Mayor Osterbach and members of the Assembly. One of the big items I was working on was, and I just wrapped up with the annual report for the borough, and that was wrapped up during the third week of August, which included last bit of information such as revenues and expenditures, which then was followed by edits and photo placement, proofreading, and so forth. And then looked at the proofs from the printer, and then we sent it out. I'm told they arrived in the region a few days later, around September 3rd. And other items we've sent out in the Lube newsletters on September 1st and August 27th. And in the newsletter recently, we had information about the Emergency Assistance and Economic Stimulus Grant for borough residents who can demonstrate need. And we sent this information out in the Loop, posted on Facebook. Also included a link on our website with instructions as well as to the grant application itself. And that grant is open through November 15th. Also in the newsletter was the notice of offices to be filled for the borough's regular election, followed by the declaration of candidacy for the open seats in the borough, as well as the school district or school board seats, rather. In addition to that, we included a link regarding the school district's amended administrative requirements for travel to school sites into the borough, and it takes you to the letter from the superintendent, which had guidelines for students and staff who had traveled outside of their community. Another item we included was the importance of completing the census. The Census Bureau is working to complete their data collection by September 30th. And as mentioned before, when Alaskans go uncounted, communities lose out on important funding for local services such as building roads, infrastructure, public services for children, veterans, seniors, and families. So very important to respond to the census if you haven't done so already. And, of course, Mary and Annie also, they already mentioned this, but we're posting photos on AEB's Facebook page of administration and staff wearing their masks and including why it's important to do so, part of the hashtag Mask Up Aleutians East campaign. And as Annie and Mary mentioned, we'd love to see more people take part in this, so please email Mary and include a quote on why it's important, and we'll be happy to post that. Another project that I work on every year, which is going to be coming up, is the PowerPoint presentation for Mayor Osterbach to present at the annual Alaska Association of Harbor Masters and Port Administrators. I understand from the website that this one's going to be held in Nome. I believe the dates are to be determined, last time I looked. So I'll be working on that, providing the most up-to-date information on our harbors and docks. And like the rest of the administration staff, I've been attending a number of online meetings related to COVID-19, including the State of Alaska Emergency Managers Meeting, AFISH, the Borough and Communities Meeting, et cetera. And just working on other day-to-day tasks and projects, including my sections of the strategic plan. So that pretty much covers it for now. So if you have any questions, please let me know. Thank you.
Thank you, Laura. Any questions? Okay. Ernie.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. My report's in your packet. I'll just briefly summarize a couple of things. The first thing, wanted to make sure the Assembly knew that we granted an extension to McClintock Land Associates to finish the Sandy River and the Bear Lake project. As you know, in 2017, we started getting surveys of our municipal land. We started with Port Moeller. We went to Sandy River, then Bear Lake, municipal land holdings that have commercial activity on them. They, because of COVID and a retirement and other reasons, have not finished the work. Dealing with the state takes a long time. And so until June 30th of 2021, that contract was extended, and I can answer questions if there are any. Salmon season, we've talked about that already, and we'll continue to talk about it. Board of Fish, there were no agenda change requests related to Area M from Chignik or anywhere else, and so that was really good news. The legislature has been having confirmation hearings on Board of Fish, and they've been a little bit controversial. They had lots and lots of email comment. I can go through some of those. It's the makeup of the board is not looking that favorable to us. We don't come up in the cycle again until 2022. However, in April of next year is when board proposals are due, so look forward to that. North Pacific Council, we talked a little bit about that. The ground fish plan team is going on through tomorrow, and then next week is the crab plan team, and then at the October meeting of the council is when they will set the specs for the crab, and then the department, Fish and Game, will put out those tacks, and we are anxiously awaiting those. The mayor... There's a link to written comments the mayor made to the Alaska Marine Highway Reshaping Work Group that's expected to give comment to the governor by the end of this month. You might want to look at that. And we signed a letter supporting the bypass mail program along with other Alaska fishing communities. The redistricting board is set. They had a meeting today during this meeting. They won't be able to do any work until March. But we will follow that process. And as you can see, there's been a lot of meetings. This is meeting season for fisheries management. It's going to be double duty in many respects. I'm here for any questions. Thanks.
Thank you. Any questions? Hearing none. Charlie.
Okay, thank you, Mayor Osterbach and Assembly. You all have my report to review. There is a lot going on with the Trawl EM project, so I'm not going to go into too much detail, but, you know, if you have questions, and there's a lot more detail in my report. So pollock season, the sea season went very quickly, and so that left us kind of with a lot of quirks and a lot of problems that came up during the fishery, but because it was going so fast, they were doing like round-the-clock, back-to-back deliveries. So we weren't able to really resolve a lot of the problems during the fishery. So right now I'm doing a lot of damage control and setting up a lot of meetings with the fleet and with the processors to just go over some of the problems and sort through them before D season. I'm sure you're all aware it's been a very strange season or year in general. Obviously, the Sandpoint plant was closed, the False Pass plant was closed, and there was operations out of Dutch Harbor, which was unexpected. Peter Pan did not have their vessels fishing, and so there's just a lot of last-minute moving parts that we were having to deal with. But we made it through, and I think we've got a plan to move forward. I will be attending the Trawl EM committee, to which I'm a member, next week. I will have several reports that I'll be submitting to the EM committee and making recommendations to the council regarding the program. So as soon as those are complete, I will have those available for your review, and they will give you a lot more information on the specifics of how this program is going, and, you know, the fleet, how the fleet is responding and things like that. For the Fisherman's Data Portal, I have been having lots of meetings to sort through some of the intellectual property clauses that come with developing software and code like we're doing for this project. It's not particularly novel, but we want to make sure that the borough and the fishermen in the Western Gulf who are using it have total and unobstructed access to this portal and any of the changes that happen to the portal going into the future. So to make sure we had that all sorted, we have a very simple MOU that we've established with the other parties just to make sure that the ownership of, you know, all of the information and IP coming out of this is clearly owned by the borough. And I'm also working with the plants to get direct access to their e-landings and fish tickets. So that way we can hopefully do a trial run of the portal in A season. So that'll be really exciting. We'll get to see how the hotspot mapping is working out and hopefully do some mock tests of, you know, the PSC monitoring, which will eventually go directly back into the hands of the fishermen so they can use it. As far as mariculture goes, it's still a little slow on that front, but Ernie and I did meet with Annie and Mayor Osterbach regarding travel out to the region. There's currently a travel ban in place for borough staff. And so I'm going to try and put together a really thorough fieldwork plan that I can submit both of them, and then maybe we can rediscuss the potential of me going out and doing field work for the mariculture project. But we want to make sure it's very thorough and covers all of our bases. I also received all of the lease documents and deliverables that are required by the DNR, which is super exciting. So that means that I can start kind of checking those off the list, and as soon as we're done, then the lease will be active, and we will officially be, you know, owners of a kelp farm, which is really exciting. And then the last thing I just wanted to share with you is we were approached by Sandra Lindstrom of the University of British Columbia regarding a new discovery for the scientific world. It's not necessarily new to the region. There is a new species of kelp that its distribution has moved westward past Kodiak into our region, and I had one of the fishermen reach out to me about finding it, and he sent me lots of pictures, and it's very exciting as a new discovery. So anyways, I think that's really interesting. I did include my strategic plan update in a link at the bottom, and I'm happy to answer any questions. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Charlotte. And Tina said she wants to see those pictures of that new kelp. That's one comment. Comments from the assembly.
Yeah, Ms. Mayor, just Charlotte, this is a quick update on your last point about macrocystis. Nick Salvo, about 30 years ago, was applying for a permit out here in Shumagin at Siminoff Harbor to put a roll on the kelp. And I don't know what happened to that, but meanwhile, Fishing Game might have some information on that old permit that he was working on. So that's all. Thank you.
Thank you, Paul. That's great information. I will look into that.
Okay. All right. So if there's no other comments, thank everybody for the report and your hard work. Assembly comments.
We're Warren here. I got one.
Go ahead, Warren.
Yeah, I just see here that the USDA is going to pay $530 million to fishermen hit by the trade wars in 2019. So that's something to look at. And one high point I got from GCI there, that's going to be pretty cool when they put in that cable over to Cold Bay there. They're going to build a road for us. So that's going to be pretty nice.
You caught that. Yeah. Other comments from the assembly? Okay. So, before we go into public comments, I just have a couple. One is, you know, for all of us, the staff's been working really hard and working underneath this COVID-19 restricted to home type thing is, it's really trying on everybody after a while. We've been doing this since March. I think there's a lot more stress involved with it. So I think, you know, the sooner we get back to normal and we have open meetings and people can sit and talk with one another, I think the way better off we're going to be. You know, but in the meantime, so some of the ideas that came out, I'm sure we could look into, you know, even video. The first time we did a staff video conference, it was pretty neat. We got to see one another and talk to each other. So I think we need to probably keep working on that because we don't know how long this thing is going to last. But anyway, probably a good time to give your staff a little approval, you know, for the hard work you're doing now, and maybe cut them a little slack because this gets pretty old pretty fast working this way, and I think they're doing a really good job for you. So with that, Laura, do you have any public comments come in?
No, Mayor Osterbach, none have come in. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. So if there's nothing else before us, the next meeting date is October 8th, and then October 19th will be another meeting to certify the election. So with that, motion to adjourn.
Motion, Warren.
So move.
Okay. Motion and second. Everybody have a good day. Enjoy sunshine.